From KALW News in San Francisco, I'm Ben Trefney with a regional news update. Governor Gavin Newsom says the state will move into the second phase of his reopening plan as early as Friday. That means allowing lower-risk workplaces to resume operations with modifications to help prevent spread of the coronavirus.
End of the week, with modifications, we will allow retail to start operating across the spectrum.
The plan includes a range of retailers that would be permitted to reopen, including clothing stores, sporting goods, and florists. It did not immediately include dine and eating at restaurants or reopening of offices, which were in previously stated Phase 2 plans. Newsom says a key consideration for entering Phase 2 is the ability for regional health authorities to test and conduct contact tracing of infections.
We will allow regional variation, but only after self-certification of particular criteria that will allow even further implementation of our Phase 2. This is a very positive sign, and it's happened only for one reason. The data says it can happen.
Members of the California Assembly returned to Sacramento yesterday after adjourning for an extended recess in March. Their focus will be on the state's coronavirus response and the looming budget crisis that could emerge as a result. Scott Rodd reports.
Governor Gavin Newsom says the state will have to make substantial spending cuts if it doesn't receive considerable assistance from the federal government. Sherry Bebich-Sheffy is a political analyst and former professor at USC. She says many of those budgetary decisions will fall on the shoulders of lawmakers.
There will be a significant budget deficit that will have to be dealt with and may well require some very tough decisions.
But what about the $18 billion California had saved in its rainy day fund?
It's gone, basically.
The state can't spend that money all at once, but she expects revenue shortages to far outpace the state's reserves. And she says everything is likely on the table to find savings, from cuts in education to social safety net programs. In Sacramento, I'm Scott Rodd.
Popular culture has somewhat demonized bats. Think of Dracula. Now bats have a link to the pandemic, but scientists say humans don't need to fear bats. They should fear people. From our partners at Capital Public Radio, Ezra David Romero reports.
Corky Cork is using tweezers to feed rescue bats mealworms in a cage at her home. She's with the Yolo Basin Foundation.
We try to help that animal to recover from whatever ails it.
When the link between COVID-19 and Chinese horseshoe bats came out, Cork began getting calls.
Calls like, I have a bat that is roosting in my front entryway, and I'm worried that I could get sick from it.
The answer isn't as easy as yes or no. California bats aren't known to be carriers of COVID-19, but that doesn't mean they can't be, says bat biologist David Wyatt with Sacramento City College.
We have no idea whether COVID-19 can actually colonize on bats.
That's why the federal government has asked scientists to halt all studies involving bats.
It's not like they're going to spontaneously get COVID-19. It would have to be transmitted by humans to those bats.
People can introduce diseases to bats. One of those is thought to be white nose syndrome. It's killed more than 6 million bats in North America and was found last summer in California. The fungus wakes them up out of hibernation, eventually leading to starvation. Scientists at UC Davis are studying how COVID-19 could impact animals. Nistara Randhava is part of the group.
The likelihood of California bats having COVID-19 is really low, but we do not know enough to rule it out completely.
That's why she says people pose a greater threat to bats than they do. If you encounter one in your house, all the experts agree and say leave the bat alone. Open window, exit the room, close the door, and let it fly out. In Sacramento, I'm Ezra David Romero.
Find more news online at KALW.org. For KALW News, I'm Ben Trefney.